Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Hi, my name is Ann McNeil and I am the master builder, helping to build stronger and better lives and businesses. And I am very excited with my co-host Dan Calloway. Every week we come on to share another Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach story. Today, we're sharing another individual from the city, Miss Billy Brooks, running for mayor of Riviera Beach. I am still thoroughly convinced that after reading the book, Acres of Diamonds by Rosa Conwell, that we're all leaving our diamond mines in our own backyards as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds we seek are found within us in our own hometown from whence we've come. Therefore, we're calling this podcast Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, Hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. And every week I'd like to read something from the Riviera Beach Moments by Deborah Hall McCullough. And today, very briefly, I'll read the section talking about the early beginnings of our beautiful city. A community group investigated a riot that blamed the unrest on alleged police brutality in the city's blighted areas and a lack of support from city leaders. The riot brought attention to some of the racial and social problems in Riviera Beach, where black people struggled to have simple sidewalks and streetlights. Riviera Beach High School was built in 1955. It was an all-white school that was known for academics and athletics. A court order ruled that all Palm Beach County schools must be desegregated. The name changed to Suncoast High School in 1970. John F. Kennedy High School was the black high school in Riviera Beach. The students who had planned to attend John F. Kennedy High School were forced to go to Suncoast High School. The school was first integrated in Palm Beach County. Some white teachers quit on the spot. Many white parents did not want their kids to attend. Some teachers still segregated their classrooms. Now, our guest today, Billy Brooks, has been a native of Riviera Beach ever since graduating from Roosevelt High School. She attended and received her bachelor's from Tuskegee Institute and received a master's of social work from Barry University. Ms. Brooks went on to become a small business owner, operating not one, not two, but three businesses while residing in the city of Riviera Beach. Ms. Brooks makes sure that she's involved and active within the community. In 2001, she was on the Riviera Beach Police Pension Board. She has served two terms on the Riviera Beach City Council and Community Redevelopment Agency. She was Kiwanis Northside former president, and she is on the board for the Children's Services Council. Furthermore, Ms. Brooks is a mother of two adult children and the wife of Riviera Beach first black mayor, Bobby E. Brooks Sr. This made Mrs. Brooks the first lady of the city of Riviera Beach for 12 years. Now this is a full circle moment as she intends to run for mayor for the great city of Riviera Beach. Help me welcome Ms. Brooks and Dan Calloway. Good afternoon. How is everybody doing?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
And wonderful thank you for the opportunity.
Billy, if it's all right for me to call you Billy rather than Mrs.
Sure.
Brooks or something like that, since I know I'm older than you, and so and we also was high school. We went to the same high school. I just happened to graduate in 56, and you graduated in 59. You
That's
were my
nice.
The most popular young lady on the campus. Everybody had the eye on you. I can remember that. Now, Billy,
all right.
With that outstanding profile, as very little that you don't know about Riviera and West Palm Beach and Palm Beach County and probably the state of Florida, because you were one of the really outstanding ambassadors from our county to go up and lobby and do a lot of things in Tallahassee. Now, I know that. I'm not going to have anybody take that away from you, because you and I talked for years about your connection in Tallahassee and Washington and doing everything, and you on the committee with your husband when we got funds from Washington to help build that city hall back then in the 70s. I know that. Let me ask you, since this is my job, to ask people questions. And whatever their answer is, that's their answer. But I need for you to tell me and the public, you were an outstanding leader, and you're still an outstanding leader because you always had God on your side. So that helped you a lot.
Yeah.
And your son, I know, I don't know, your older son, one was the principal, now he's the area superintendent or something like that?
No, he's still principal at Westwood Elementary. I just have the one son and one daughter. But Bobby
okay,
here.
That's right.
And in Revere Beach, in Revere Beach.
Well, I hope we don't lose him because everybody knows he's been an outstanding administrator. I need for you to explain to the community, and I've been asked a lot, you know, you were outstanding not only as a person but as a politician. Why did you come back after a hiatus of maybe 6, 7, 8 years? You come back to run.
I'm glad you asked, and I really am. There were a group of concerned citizens who felt that in the present mayoral office that somehow their voices were being suppressed. And I tell you, it had to do, Dan, with the charter amendment. With the charter amendment, two very important amendments for the citizens. The one charter allowed that the citizens, if you voted yes, that the citizens would have the right to make a decision as to whether or not we retain the police department, retain the fire department. And the current mayor was not in support of that. So they felt like, well, we should have some say-so in this. We know we have these representatives on the council, but we need to stay because we're the one who are impacted one way or another with either of these services. And then the other had to do with, prior to this amendment passing, if you're a property owner and there were repairs to your street, you had to pay 50% of the cost for those repairs. Well, when the mayor was against it, you know, people were saying, well, why should we be assessed that we're taxpayers? So those were two of the concerns. And then one business person, one that is it's a developer, a big partner with us in the community, said that he had asked that the mayor would have a citizens advisory committee and that it never happened. And so, you know, I know Ronnie, no personal thing against him. When he told me he was running for office, you know, at that time against Masters, he was in a restaurant, and I really didn't recognize him. And I said, this is Ronnie. And, honey, I kissed him on top of his bald head. I said, well, you know you got my support. But these were some of the areas that the citizens were really concerned about, and some felt that the city manager was not getting the support. And, you know, this city was way behind, I mean, fully support the city manager. So that's when they said, well, Ms. Brooks, you know, we know what you did when you were on the council. You looked out for the elderly. You looked out for the disabled. When there was the issue about the water situation and the rate had gone up, that you came up with a legislation that the city could help the senior citizens financially with this. And you also helped the residents and the business people because they were getting these exorbitant rates for water. But you felt that the city was not compassionate. They were telling them, okay, we'll come up with a plan to repay. But you said, no, they can't be penalized for this. And you came up with a resolution because you believe in doing things legislatively so that they had a teeth in them, that they would allow them to review their situation with the water department, pay what they had been paying on an average basis, and give 6 months to resolve it. And you also did an investigation and found out that the meters we had were defective because the same meters had been installed in Atlanta, Georgia, and Atlanta was having identical problems with these outrageous bills. And so as a result of that, they changed the whole system. So people remember the good that I did. You know, there's expression that remember the work that I do, they will speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. And then to, you know, so just a few of the things that the people said, look, we want you back in office. Because, you know, Dan, people look at that position as ceremonial, but it is what you make it. The only time the mayor can have a vote is if there is a tie on appointment to replace someone on the council. So I believe in doing whatever you can, that there is sustainability, that there ought to be a legacy, there should be something left, and I'm proud to say the drop program I bought to the city. It had never been bought before. Other cities had it. It was a benefit for the employees, an incentive for them to stay, plan their retirement. And when they do retire, they're able to have a chunk of money to help them with pay out their mortgage or pay for college. So these were just a few of the things that my accomplishments that people said, we want you back. We want you back. And so I said, okay, I love the city. And you know what? And I guess I'm talking too much, but then in that gap, from the time I was on the council,
okay,
and then in the gap, there came a need for our families who were evicted. One night I got a call from a councilman. Ms. Brooks, there's a child out here sitting on a bench with their mother. This was at 10 o'clock at night. Do you have any room at your place? Because I do rent to people who are in the county's program for housing needs. I said, I don't have any, but I'll talk with the people there to see if we can bring this family in, which we did. Later on, someone called me and said, the Lord had put it in their spirit for me to chair their nonprofit to raise money. I went to my colleagues on the council. We raised over 30-some thousand dollars to help with persons facing eviction, that we would provide housing for them until we got them into the county system. So, and then when I heard that the children were not going to school because their clothing were soiled, because Shamba Miller had a community meeting and said that, well, Dan, I went into my little Rolodex of folks that I know that, you know, got a little influence and affluence, and I brought them to meet Camille Coleman. And she confirmed that was the situation. Well, this person went to the people she knows. She raised enough money to buy a washing machine and dryer for Lincoln Elementary in Bethune-Cookman. When we learned that the children were having problems reading, the same person, she had influence with this Carson Reading Room program. It's a grant program. They go into Title I, and they put in beautiful reading rooms. I mean, $10,000. They invest into a special room at the school where the children would go, a beautiful atmosphere where they would read, the parents can come with them. And with each of those schools having been awarded that grant, there was a $1,000 grant that followed one child in that school all the way through high school for them to use for their education. So these were just some of the activities that I was involved with and just very excited about. And so that's, well, okay, you know, with the power of the office of the mayor, so much more can be accomplished to bring in resources that we need. I don't know if you're familiar with, because I love my seniors. Are you familiar with the Senior Citizen Employment Program?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, you know, and this is something I would – look, I got a whole plan for the first 90 days.
Well,
when
you remember,
I'm
a senior citizen myself now at 84.
Well, I'm telling you, you know, and right now with all that's going on, the cost of living going up, food going up, seniors are on fixed income.
That is true.
But many of them are able to work. So I would be bringing in, it's called the Senior Community Service Employment Program. Anybody 55 or over and a certain income, they could work up to 20 hours a week at the federal minimum wage.
Okay.
You know, so it would help them. So these are just some of the things that Oh, I'm so excited about.
Well, listen, your MO has always been excited. You didn't leave nothing in the bag. You always been like that. I need to make a comment. You said somebody called you about one of the kids was outside. That was a man named Dan W. Calloway. When you were a council person and water overflowed in Stony Brook then, it was just everything.
Yeah.
10:30 at night, somebody called me and the food had spoiled in the whole A unit. I called one Billy Brooks of 28th Street. Dan, why are you calling me? I said, you're the only one I know can get me some food, and we're going to put these people in some motels right on Blue Heron. Now, you did that. You sent David Harris to pick up so many boxes of pizza. And you put your credit card. I'll tell that story because that happened. Now,
right.
Are you able to do those things that you were doing back there then and running up to Tallahassee and everybody was running behind you to open the doors with Alfie Hastings and everybody? Are you ready for that?
Not only Tallahassee, but also Washington, D.C. You know, and I got to give kudos to Malachi Knowles.
Yes,
Malachi groomed Bobby how to be a mayor. It was Malachi who taught us how you go into the office of your congressman. Malachi one day, I got to tell you this right quick. We went to Congressman Rogers' office, and he had people with him. You know, Malachi is very bold. He said, you tell them that his mayor from Palm Beach County is here, and he can see them other folks later, and we want a photographer. And so we had a beautiful relationship, but as I said, Malachi really taught me, as he taught Bobby, how you use that office to bring in resources and let it be known who you are. Look, I invited the administration. Ford might have been in there. He sent a task force of people to look at Revere Beach. Honey, I brought them over to my house, fed them some soul food. The next thing I know, I got an invitation to Washington to a White House state dinner, and that's pretty much unheard of. But I have to give Malachi so much credit because he has not been given that kind of credit in terms of how he loved this city, and he really trained Bobby, I would say, how to be a great mayor and how to access resources in D.C. So I give him his kudos on that. It's just a love for the city.
The city hall, you and Bobby back there in the 70s, and Malachi was in Washington, helped got the funds from the government. I know that.
That's right.
But let me go back and ask. And, of course, I want the listeners to know that Malachi is your classmate, too. He went to Roosevelt, too. So, therefore,
that's right.
When he went on, I think it was Morgan State, when he was up in the college in Washington. Yeah. But
Morgan
anyway,
State,
he's been, not only that, he's helped building the junior golf program, where it should be in with the academy over there on 13th Street, too. Now, let me get back to you, because that's my job. I just don't receive a paycheck to ask questions and get answers because there's so many people want to hear. They listen because I feel a lot of questions during the week. The great lady Ann McNeil thought of this program, and it's just tremendous to highlight Riviera and people with Rhea, and some of us who was born here. And I love this place as much as anybody because I was born 3009 S Avenue 84 years ago. So I know I love it, and I want people who love the place and want to look after it. Now, you said something about the senior citizen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing with the mayor came up with about 4 months ago, maybe 3.5 months ago. And he asked me, Mr. Calloway, I need your help. I said, what you need, Mayor? He said, I need you to go and talk with all the ministers in Riviera because you know more of them than I do. And I said, well, you're a reverend more than you are mayor. So I will do that. what he wanted. And the reason why I'm saying that, just in case you win, I personally don't want that program to ever fail, to be dropped off. He wants the churches to give some kind of stipend every month. It was $50, $100, whatever they can afford. All the churches, they put the money in the pot. I suggest we give it to Dr. Drayton at, what is that, St. James?
Yeah,
see, somebody got to keep it and keep a record of it. And what we're going to be doing, we already done recognized 50 houses. We're going to go to the houses like on 1st Street, 5th Street. That was the Veteran Project, was built in 1950.
Right,
90% of those houses need some help. Was it the roof? Was it the floor? Mm-hmm. The walls? Some of them got mildew. And all that stuff need to be repaired. And what about some of the places behind you over the wall in Monroe Heights, in the old section?
That's right.
In some places on Upper S Avenue, back in there. There's a lot of old homes that senior citizens can't afford to have this repair. Now, I know the government got a little money coming in, just that and the county controlling it, but we should start an initiative with the churches. And we need to go back to the churches. Everything we should do, it should start from that pulpit. Get the house out there, stop saying in the church. Now, you can't say that, but I can say that. The minister need to get out more and take their place as the leader. That's what God called them to do. Now,
how do you feel
if you were the mayor, would you continue that program where we can get help or go to the, Walmart, all those places that sell material, ask them to give us some material and go to people who know how to repair, whether they're a professional builder, whether some of the people who do this on the side, and we take care of the situation. You just said in your speaking just a while ago, you said that the pandemic, the prices have gone up on the grocery, food bill, because of traveling, the truck, there are not enough trucks to get it and get it here. How do we take care of these people? These people on a fixed income, they've worked all their life. Now they're senior citizens, and they can't get the help. We should put the senior citizen number one and the kids number two, because when you're a kid, the only thing you think about growing to be an old person. I wanted to be an old person. When I retired, I said, I want to be in a rocking chair. And then somebody said to me before I got old enough to get in the rocking chair, they said I was too old for rock and roll and too young for the rocking chair. So I remember that quote. Now I'm old enough for the rocking chair. What are you planning on doing from all these senior citizens that we are feeding at least once a month? The other day, and I know she doesn't like for everybody to know that she helped spend money, but the top lady here, Ann McNeil, gave us $800 last year. You know what that money was for? To go and pay boats, catching the fresh fish, whether they in the salt water, the mackerel, the blues, the snappers, or in the fresh water with the, what they call it, the speck of perch, the catfish.
And we prepared
that. You know why we need to do that? When people getting free lunch or free meals, meals on wheels, 9 times out of 10, that food is frozen. Frozen food warming up, the taste is gone. Now, when we give them fresh food, we have over 1,500 people right now, and other people say, can I get on the list to have some of that fresh fish? They can cook it themselves.
Yeah.
We bring it to them right out of the water. Think about a program like that.
I think it's wonderful. Let me ask you something, because I'm a person of order. Now, do you all have, like, a name, or you have organized yourself in such a way that you are a nonprofit entity? And I say that, Dan, because when you do that, you got your mission statement, which doesn't have to be fancy. It's to to help people, help our seniors. Because when you are a non-established nonprofit, and maybe you can still do it on that one church, you make sure that everything is accountable in terms of the money, that you have people in place who know how to do what needs to be done, and people will gravitate to it. They'll do it. I'm now with Christ Fellowship, and I know they look. They say that they're here to bring about a revival. They are not in competition with any church, and that's a church with resources. If you are organized and you have your statement, you could send out notices to people, you know, these different companies, and I know Cheney Brothers is one that's always doing something, but there are other companies as well, because they are going to get a tax write-off anyway. They're going to get a tax write-off.
That
so as long
true.
As you have got it, do you know where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I got you, but Billy, 58 years ago, the Youth Recreation with Herman McCray, your classmate, Don Wilson,
yeah.
2 years ahead of you, 1 year ahead of you, Clark Martin and Johnny Carlisle, Red Dead Goodmile Park, before I drew the plans to build Wells and Tate. 58, and 2 or 3 weeks ago, I retired from that, and after 58 years, but I'm still a part of the Youth Recreation. Everything you're saying, we've been a 501c3 over 40 years. And the people to give us the money. This is why I would love to be able to give you a letter or have Artie Williams to give you a letter to give it to Tom Mullins, because I think he's just doing a marvelous job in asking for a donation. Because Matthew Russell Jr. told me about some things. I said, Matthew, we need help. We need help because we got so many things. But right now, helping people have food, because they're not getting the food that they normally would, because it's and especially going to the grocery store. Any kind of help at all, need that. And I understand that. But we've been doing this for over 50 years. There's no way in the world we send as many people to college and help out with many seniors that we do if we were a nonprofit. And 90% of it come from the other race. I can tell you that right now.
That's right. I know. That's right.
We got to do better. But I just needed to let you know that's one program trying to refurbish those homes and give people pride in where they're living. See, because people have a hard time and maybe their kids or the grandkids, they didn't come back to help them out. And when you get old, you need a lot of help, and you've got to have a team of people. So what if they don't? We are the surrogate people. That's our job. We are supposed to be our brother's keeper. I know that that's your MO. You are your brother's keeper. And I just needed for you to go on record when the people hear that, you're going to cable one of you win. So, therefore, if you're the winner, will you keep the ball rolling with them seniors? And you've answered it, yes.
And let me tell you something, Dan. If Zelda is still the mayor, I will help him. I will be his advocate if he needs one. I will participate this in any way, because it's not about just being the mayor to make this happen. I want to do whatever I can do to help my citizens. You know, so let me tell you, I wanted to help masses with some things, you know, but I didn't want them to feel I'm telling them what to do. I text Ronnie February, I think it was the 8th or 9th, before the election, and I said to him, here are some of the ideas that I have as mayor. Take them and incorporate them. See if you can incorporate them into your plan, into your vision. So regardless, I would help Ronnie with this.
Beautiful.
Honey, it's supposed to be seniors. And my
you were a business person. I remember when I was taking kids all over the country, you were the person who was getting me flights and the traveling and getting me a break. You and George Rogers, wife, I think. You remember years ago when you were in that? I'm old, but I haven't lost this old mind yet. but the thing, what I'm saying, you being an ambassador is normal, because you've been an ambassador all the time. And the thing that I'm saying is, I think we get hung up on who is over the program, who is over the the president. Who is that Dan Calloway over this? And they say, well, I'm not going to do anything because it's Dan Calloway or something like that. You see, if you look at the problem, don't worry about who's supposed to be in charge. See, because who in charge, that doesn't matter. It's if we supposed to be a person who will help eradicate the problem, the crime, the hungry.
Right.
There are so many people right now going, we've been feeding people. At Thanksgiving, we fed 7,000 people. We had 127 volunteers right out of the Lindsay Davis, right down the street from you. Lindsay Davis.
I was up there.
That's right. That's exactly right. And we had, and before I walked in there, we had fed 2,000 in Belgrade the night before. And then somebody said, why are you taking all the food over to Belgrade? I said, those people hungry too. Remember, I retired from the sheriff's office. That means I covered the county. Now, I love Riviera more than any city. But I'm never going to turn my back on any poor person, white or black. Because that's what Jesus was doing it, then that's what I got to do. So what all you're saying here is very important. Now, because we only have about 5 minutes more, what one thing you need to say to the listening audience, or one or two things that you want to do, you need help, and you want to be in there because you think you are the best person can go get this done. It's all about what you want to do.
Okay. I had some idea what I want to do for the first 90 days. And what you're saying about the situation of our seniors certainly fall into my plan for the seniors in terms of meeting their physical needs, their fiscal needs, if possible, that we can, and their shelter needs. So that's always in that program that I would like to get started right away. And so, you see, we can build on what's already there. God gives me the victory.
Yeah.
We will build on what fellas already started. You know, whatever was started, even things that Master started, like the Neighborhood Watch, I think was great. That's something we need to bring back in as well, that start looking out for each other as neighbors. But my first 90 days, what I certainly would want to do is right away establish some town meetings. And I mean not at town, not at City Hall, but in the community too.
In
each of the four, you know, in each of the four districts, actually come to the churches and we would meet and talk. And I don't mind doing home visits. I do it anyway. And then a business advisory committee. The business community wants to know what can we do for them before we ask them to do something for us, because that was a complaint they had. It was always a gimme, gimme, gimme from the people in Riviera Beach, you know, electorate, instead of them, let's sit at the table and see how you can help us as well. So I want to have a business advisory committee, a citizens advisory committee, and I want to establish also in that office a unit that's called Where to Turn To. You don't know what to do. Call the mayor's office. We can tell you what you need. If it's a legal thing, if it's your mortgage, because there's mortgage assistance, you're about to lose your mortgage. Different things that we would have there for you to call and know that you got a friendly voice that's going to help you through it. I want to bring back the Office of Vocational Rehabilitation because they train the disabled population. There's a young girl, she's a quadriplegic on Blue Heron. She told me, she said, well, I called the mayor's office several times. I never got a call back. So I'm convincing her now, let's go to Voc Rehab, because she got a good mind. She went to college, and we can hire her. I did it. I hired two persons through Voc Rehab when I brought them to the city. One was an attorney, and the other had a master's in social work, but they were disabled. And I mentioned about the Senior Community Service Employment Program. Help these seniors who need a little bit of money because they're on fixed income. We would do that through the Department of Elder Affairs. And I definitely want to talk with the business community about giving priority to our students graduating from college. We give all these scholarships, but we don't track these students to find out when you're going to graduate, what's your major, and then talk. We'll have established relationship with these businesses like Pepsi Cola, Coca-Cola, a lot of them, that they would be willing to give priority to our graduates. We want them to come home and buy homes.
There you go.
So, and then I told you about how I'd worked to raise money for the population that was the homeless. Well, I talked with John Hurd a few months ago, and I said, John, when you all develop this plan, I want you to come up with something for our homeless population. Dan, I went to the meeting last Monday. Praise God. He has requested now that there be 2 units for the homeless population. So he and I got to work out a plan. So instead of sending them to the hotel, we can give them transitional housing until we get them into the county. And John Green and I have a wonderful relationship. He calls me to help him find places to put people. You know John Green is over the community.
Yeah. John worked for 25 years putting up housing for the poor people right here for the city of Riviera Beach and rehabbing them and all that. I think that when you're putting the team together, and that comes from experience, you can build, you always need to keep building. And I think that when you said it was 4 different districts, you got one at large. So that's
you got one at large,
Well, let me go back and say this here, and the mayor is everywhere. I think that all the elected officials, at least once a year, they should go in their district and go there and have a picnic, see food, bring people, music, keep them, and then they'll start talking. Then put a table and tell them, tell them what you're offering, all these things. They're not going to read the paper to find out this. They're not coming to the city hall. So, but if you go in their area and you feed them and the music, and they are people friendly. You have to have all your department head people friendly. Get out of the air conditioner.
That's right.
Get out of the office and go out there and talk to those people. And once they know that you are doing that, they'll tell you everything you want to know.
Absolutely. And I've seen you do it. You know, it works. People will come, and especially if you have activities for their children. Oh, man, they're coming.
They love you.
They love you. That's right, because you're giving something to them, and they will give something to you in terms of their needs.
Right.
And you're meeting them at their point of need, Dan, at their point of need. So,
Well, let me go back. Well, you answered all the questions. That's beautiful. One of the things that you said is very important, and people look at me because they think I'm losing my mind. Now, I'm losing my eyesight. I'm not losing my mind. We have to give the residents or the people of the city of Riviera Beach first choice at every job. Now, I know you can't, when the kids graduate from college or wherever they go off and get their training. We got to be able to, when it's a job opening, give them, like if you are a veteran in the Army and you want to be a mailman, you got 10% because on your test at the beginning before you ever take it, because they want to give the veterans a chance to get incorporated back into the communities after going into the service. We have to go and do a better job of giving all our business when we get ready to build this, we get ready to pave this, whatever. If we got somebody from Riviera to do it, give it to them. And if you and you keep up with those kids in college, what if your son wouldn't have been able to come back and get a job with the Palm Beach County School System and had to go to Dade County and all them other places?
Right.
You all want the homegrown people to come back and take over because they know everybody. And see, I could go to, just say if I needed something from the school, I can go and tell your son I went to school with his mother and his dad.
That's right.
See, that
that's
gives
right.
me an entree in there with something when you know each
that's
other.
Right.
And you really own the
that's
ball
right.
here. So your last remark.
Dan,
hold it just a minute.
My last
Dan,
remark.
Dan, are you ready to add something?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just enjoying the conversation as always. It's just been very enlightening and very informative. And I can ditto when you're talking about Malachi, because I remember the impact Malachi had on me as a young person coming out of college. And one of my first trips to Washington, D.C., I happened to run into him at an event, and I kept saying, Malachi Knowles. I only know one Malachi Knowles. Malachi Knowles. And of course, he had a, you know, anyway, we all know Malachi, where he was and what he was doing. So it was a very pleasant experience. And so I think we just have so much to offer for this city and from this city that we cannot really sit idly by as the city passes us by. That's the big thing, because these students and these kids are growing up, and then we're getting older, all of us. And Mr. Calloway likes to tell us, everybody, how old he is, but I think we can all ditto that, because we're not that far behind, right? And it's gone in a blink of an eye. And so the other question becomes, who's coming behind us? Because when you really look at the majority of us over 50, 60 years old, and there's no pipeline coming behind us that we're building that matters and that are interested in leading the city as we leave the city. And so those are just some ideas and thoughts. And all of the ideas are great, but it's the feet to the faith that gets, you know, everything moving. So I want to just remind all of our listeners that you have been listening to Ms. Billy Brooks, who's running for mayor of Riviera Beach, and Mr. Dan Calloway on the podcast entitled Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. And Ms. Brooks has been a native of Riviera Beach ever since graduating from Roosevelt High School. She didn't say what year she graduated, but she attended and received her bachelor's from Tuskegee Institute and received her master's in social work from Barry University. And so we're just so excited to have you on, and I think Mr. Calloway would like to have you give your closing remarks, and then he's going to wrap us up. Thank you.
That's right.
Well, I just want to say I thank you for the opportunity to talk to the people or give my message and my plan to the people, to the listening audience. My heart is in this. I really want to serve my people as your mayor. I will use the influence of that position to make a difference in the lives of all of you, from the cradle all the way through to the senior years. So you can trust me. I've proven myself in the past. And then I want to say this. You asked me a question about getting a letter to Mullins. If you get that letter to me, I will assure you I will get him, get that letter to Tom Mullins so that we can start right away involving ourselves in this program. I do represent Christ Fellowship in this in the Riviera Beach campus, so I do have a pipeline to Mullins.
I know. If you tell me you got a pipeline in, you tell me you will do something. There's one thing I know, your word has always been good. Now, I'm not going to let anybody defame that.
Thank you.
It's been exciting. It's been exciting. I know, and she beats me up about my age that I tell her. But you see, the reason why, it's a blessing. It's a blessing.
Yes, it is.
You know, because all the guys, a lot of the guys that you knew when you were running around on Roosevelt when we were kids, they're gone. Herman is gone.
That's true.
Don is gone.
That's true.
And I'm the one left. I have to be, because I'm so blessed that I got so many people around me will assist me.
Yes.
But the main thing about it is I want people to know, because my hair is very white, that it's from age. It's not from bleach and something like that. But anyway, Billy has been really wonderful. And I wish you good luck, but I will get you
thank
a letter
you so
in fact, right? Because it's easy for me to come right on there, because you live right across the street from my sister, and right there
that's
by
right,
one of my and one of the guys that I went to school with, Reverend James E. Adams. Yep,
that's
he was
right,
a grade behind
that's
me.
Right.
Yep.
Yes,
so anyway, tell them all I said hello and good luck.
And thank you, and may you all have a blessed remainder of the week.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, everybody,
bye-bye,
for listening to Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. And we'll see everybody next Sunday, same time, same place, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Please remember to comment, like, and share the podcast. Peace.
Please remember to comment, like, and share this podcast. And we'll see everybody next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.